Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by Representative Cafaro. Remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sins now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The clerk will take the roll. Representative Marler.
Yep. Mr. Speaker, 100 members are present.
A quorum is present and the House is ready for business. Are there any introductions? Seeing none, order of business number one, communications and petitions.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number two, reports of standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, we are Committee on Appropriations. Recommend that House Bill 100 do pass. Signed, Representative Lou Jones, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we are Committee on Education. Recommend that House Bills 26 and 32 do pass. Signed, Representative Seth Burgley, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we are Committee on State Administration. Recommend that House Bills 71 and 97 do pass. Signed, Representative Wendy McCamey, Chair. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number four, reports of select committees.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number five, messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the Senate to inform the House of Representatives the following Senate bills were on this day read three several times and passed, title and history agreed to, and are herewith transmitted to the House for concurrence. Senate Bill 25, Solomon, 34, Conower, 49, Blaisdell, 66, Fitzpatrick. Sincerely, Marilyn Miller, Secretary of the Senate. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number five, messages from the governor.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number six, first reading and commitment of bills.
Mr. Speaker, House Bills 177 through 186 are introduced, read first time, and referred to committee. All are posted. Mr. Speaker, Senate Bills 25, 34, 49, 65, and 66 have been read first time and referred to committee. All are posted. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number seven, second reading of bills. Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into a committee of the whole for consideration of business on second reading.
All those in favor say aye. All opposed, no. The ayes have it. I appoint Representative Cheetah chair of the committee of the whole for the day.
Members of the committee will please be in order. Members, please remember to log in on Zoom and virtual vote console with the RSA token. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 38. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 38, introduced by Welch, a bill for an act entitled, an act establishing that home and community-based services must be considered in total when services are authorized, clarifying that each service on its own does not have to prevent institutionalization and providing an effective date, Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Welch?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 38, that it recommended the same do pass.
Representative Welch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill, House 38, came from the Children's Families Health and Human Services Interim Committee. We were assigned a study of the Senior and Long-Term Care Division of the Department of Public Health and Human Services. One of the issues in the study were some negative changes in the way that the division conducted its Big Sky Waiver program. These changes began roughly 6 years ago with a change in leadership at the division and continue until the current day. House Bill 38 was one of four bills that we supported as an interim committee to address and reverse these changes. This bill passed unanimously out of the Human Services Committee of this legislative session. What does this bill do? It restores the interpretation of providing services and equipment to very physically disabled people on the Big Sky waiver that was in place prior to the changes 6 years ago. To understand this bill, one needs to understand waivers. Waivers are state programs that are provided to people with disabilities who qualify for Medicaid. They are for people who otherwise would have to live in institutions such as nursing homes or state facilities because their disabilities are so substantial. They provide services for people to avoid these expensive placements and live in homes instead. The waiver services are almost always less expensive than institutional ones. The Big Sky waivers for people with physical disabilities from infants to seniors. Until about 6 years ago, people with disabilities who were on Big Sky waiver would be able to receive services and equipment that together diverted them from institutional placements. The new interpretation changed this and required people to prove that each individual service or piece of equipment alone kept that person from having to live in an institution. It's extremely difficult to prove this, and people were denied important services and equipment under this new interpretation. This bill would establish that it is the intent of the legislature that the department shall review whether the services and equipment recommended by medical professionals will collectively, not individually, prevent an individual from requiring an institutional level of care. It would also direct the department to approve each waiver service or item of medical equipment that will contribute to allowing a person to remain in a home or community setting, even if the service or item on its own would not prevent an institutional level of care. This is contrary to the purpose of waiver services. The division reached out to advocates after this bill passed out of committee last fall, and I know that they've made some changes and are making progress. We've decided, hence this bill which passed out of committee, we just wanted to put that into statute and remind them again of what they need to do. So at this point, I'll stand for questions.
Is there a discussion? Representative Vinton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for the sponsor.
Does the sponsor yield?
Do.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative, I know you mentioned physical disability a couple of times in your opening. Does this bill also address those individuals with intellectual needs?
Yes, in certain cases, yes.
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close?
I'm going to give you one quick example and tell you about one other thing. One of the things we're talking about might be as simple as a gym membership for someone to get them to do some exercise and those things. That in itself, you know, isn't going to keep them out of, you know, an institution, but it helps along those lines. But one example I want to share with you quickly. One child who was denied equipment under this policy had no arms and wanted to eat independently at school with her friends. The independent feeding machine equipment does not itself keep her out of an institution, so it was denied. She had to appeal to get the equipment. Fortunately, her family found an attorney to represent her, and they reversed their decision. Many other people who have been denied services or equipment for this reason do not have the means to appeal. I do want to acknowledge that the Department of Health and Human Services has made some positive changes in recent months, but we want to ensure that they continue to make those changes, and so I would ask for a green light on House Bill 38. Thank you.
Question now arises on the motion of Representative Welch that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 38, that I recommend the same do pass. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 100 representatives have voted aye.
House Bill 38 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 51. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 51, introduced by Hamilton, a bill for an act entitled An Act Revising Montana Achieving a Better Life Experience Act Laws to remove references to a repealed definition and amending section. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Hamilton? It appears you're muted, Representative Hamilton.
Let's try that again, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill number 51, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the latest and best entrant for shortest bill of the session. House Bill 51 aims to correct an oversight that occurred in the 2019 session. House Bill 288, forwarded by a long-serving representative here in Helena, changed some significant pieces of the ABLE Act, and it was discovered during the off-session by the interim committee staff that a definition was left in the bill that had been deleted. That definition, as you see in the bill, is account owner. With that, I will stop. Thank you.
Is there a discussion? Is there a discussion? There being no further discussion, does the bill sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Hamilton that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 51, that it recommend the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 99 representatives have voted aye. 0 have voted no.
House Bill 51 has passed second reading. Members of the committee have before you for your consideration House Bill 60. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 60, introduced by Lenz, a bill for an act entitled, An Act to Align Protective Services Terminology with the Families First Prevention Services Act, amending sections and providing an effective date, Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Lenz?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 60, that it recommend the same do pass, Mr. Chair.
Representative Lenz.
Thank you, members of the Committee of the Whole. House Bill 60 is associated with the Family First Prevention Act that was passed a couple of years in the federal government. Family First Prevention Act attempts to strengthen families in lieu of having the children removed. And so that is the intent for that. It brought forward some structures that states needed to meet to get that money from the federal government. I think the Family First Prevention Act can be a very good option for possibly changing the culture within DPHHS, maybe help assist go the right way. But all that said, that's the most, probably the most I'm going to talk about that. But House Bill 60 only addresses two things. Both of them are in the definition. Page 3, line 11, changes family group decision-making meeting to engagement meeting. And on page 5, line 12, it changes voluntary protective services to written prevention plan, written prevention plans. That section of law where it talks about the written protection plans, I can definitely talk about that if you like. This goes through and changes some other sections of code with those two things. But like I say, I will ask for questions if you need any clarification. This should be a good bill, Mr. Chair.
Is there a discussion? Is there a discussion on the bill? Is there a discussion on the bill? There being no discussion, does the bill sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Lenz that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 60, it recommend the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 100 representatives have voted aye.
House Bill 60 has passed second reading. Members of the committee have before you for your consideration House Bill 64. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 64, introduced by Moore, a bill for an act entitled, An Act Creating a Securities Whistleblower Award and Protection Act, providing definitions, providing authority for the commissioner to award whistleblowers, providing for anonymous whistleblower complaints, providing procedures for whistleblower award payments, providing criteria for awards and disqualifications, providing for protections of whistleblowers and internal reports, and providing an immediate effective date and an applicability date, Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Moore?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 64, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Moore.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 64 proposes to create the Securities Uniform Whistleblower Award and Protection Act. If enacted, the Whistleblower Award and Protection Act would provide monetary awards to whistleblowers and provide protections for those who make whistleblower complaints. The proposed legislation includes an express cause of action against employers that retaliate against whistleblowers. Funding for the monetary awards is a percentage of the fine levied against the wrongdoer. Section 4 on page 2, line 11, provides authority to the Commissioner of Securities and Insurance to award an amount to one or more whistleblowers who voluntarily provide original information in writing that leads to the successful enforcement of an administrative or judicial action. In section 5 on page 2, provides anonymity to the whistleblower complaint. The whistleblower complainant must, however, disclose their identity to receive a monetary award. Their identity yet will be protected from public disclosure. Section 7 gives the commissioner complete discretion as to whether or not to pay a whistleblower award. And in section 9 on page 3, that spells out factors used to determine the amount of a whistleblower award, including the significance of the original information, the degree of assistance of the whistleblower, and the interest of the commissioner in deterring violations of the Securities Act, among other factors. Section 10 enumerates disqualifications of the award. Section 11 on page 5 provides protection for the whistleblower from termination, discharge, suspension, threats, harassment, or other forms of retaliation for providing the original information to the commissioner, and it articulates that the civil remedies available to a whistleblower should there be any retaliation. As it turns out, Montana would be the third state to have a Whistleblower Award and Protection Act. The state of Utah and Indiana currently have a similar act, as does the Securities and Exchange Commission. The Securities and Exchange Commission has had a whistleblower act for a number of years. Earlier this year, it awarded its highest whistleblower award to date. An anonymous whistleblower was awarded $111 million. For bringing forward original information. It's presumed that that was a 10% finder's fee, if you will, for that monetary sanction against the firm, which means the sanction was something better than $1 billion. You know, it's often hard for individuals within the industry to come forward for fear of financial hardship or being blackballed. This proposed Whistleblower Award and Protection Act would allow the commissioner to keep identities confidential and provide an incentive for those who help to take down bad actors. The ultimate goal in HB 64 is to protect Montanans by allowing the commissioner to receive information that might not otherwise be uncovered. Therefore, I urge a do pass on House Bill 64. Mr. Chair.
Is there a discussion on the bill? Is there any discussion on the bill? There being no discussion, does the bill sponsor wish to close? The sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Moore that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 64, that it recommend the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 92 representatives have voted aye, 8 have voted no.
House Bill 64 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 65. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 65, introduced by Moore, a bill for an act entitled, An Act Revising the Definition of a Securities Salesperson to Include Supervisors, amending section and providing an effective date, Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Moore?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 65, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Moore.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 65 merely expands the definition of securities salesperson, line 5, page 6. This expansion would include within the term of salesperson an individual who supervises another individual who falls within this definition of being a salesperson. Currently, only broker-dealer salespersons and the firm he or she is associated with are required to register in Montana. While firms are statutorily required to supervise salespersons transacting business with Montanans, it is actually an agent or employee of the firm that does the supervision. When the supervisor fails to supervise and an unethical or fraudulent practice occurs in Montana's client's account, oftentimes the commissioner is unable to impose sanctions against the supervisor because the individual is not registered in Montana. If you pass House Bill 65, the salesperson's supervisor will also be held accountable. I urge a due pass on House Bill 65. Mr. Chair.
Is there a discussion on the bill? Is there a discussion on the bill? Seeing no further discussion, does the bill sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Moore that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 65, it recommend the same do pass. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 100 representatives have voted aye.
House Bill 65 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 74. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 74, introduced by Gillette, a bill for an act entitled, An Act Repealing the Medical Malpractice Insurance Joint Underwriting Association, amending section, repealing sections, and providing an immediate effective date.
What is your pleasure, Representative Gillette?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 74, that it recommend the same do pass, Mr. Chair.
Representative Gillette.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, this bill repeals a section of code that is no longer germane. In 2005, the Medical Malpractice Association was formed. It's basically like reinsurance, so insurance for insurance companies. But nobody ever, no malpractice insurance company ever enrolled in it. And you can see on the second page in Section 2 that that's the repeal of the section of code that formed that association. And then on the front page in Section 1 is just a reference to that code that would no longer exist. So I ask that you all vote green and do pass. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Is there a discussion? Is there a discussion on the bill? Is there a discussion on the bill? Seeing no discussion, does the bill sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Gillette that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 74, that it recommend the same do pass. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair,
House Bill 74 sneaks by on second reading.
Mr. Chair, 100 representatives have voted aye.
Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 105. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 105, introduced by Marshall, a bill for an act entitled, An Act Revising the Criminal Offense of Unlawful Transactions with Children, prohibiting giving or selling to children tobacco products, alternative nicotine products, or vapor products, amending section and providing an immediate effective date and an applicability date, Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Marshall?
And I move that when this House committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 105, it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Marshall.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, this bill closes a loophole that's been around for a while. What it does is if I, for instance, was to go down and purchase a pack of cigarettes at a convenience store, walk outside and give or sell that to a child, nothing would happen to me. The child would receive a minor in possession. If I was a store clerk and sold that pack of cigarettes to the child, I would get hit with a fine and a warning. The person who makes the transaction, the adult, gets nothing. This bill closes that loophole on all three of these products. So now you'll end up going out there and you give the child something, you get the fine or the possible jail sentence. It also changes one other line in here to child from the majority, strikes the majority to child. And in Montana Code 41101, that's the definition of child and adult. Mr. Speaker.
Is there discussion on the bill? Is there discussion on the bill? There being no discussion, does the bill sponsor wish to close? The sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Marshall that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 105, it recommend the same do pass. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 92 representatives have voted aye. 7 have voted no.
House Bill 105 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 120. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 120, introduced by Logie, a bill for an act entitled, An Act Allowing Only Persons Eligible to Hunt to Apply for Bonus Points, amending section and providing a delayed effective date, Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Logie?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 120, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Logie.
This bill, if you're a hunter, you know that if there are tags, permits, and license in limited areas, you can put in for bonus points, and that increases your odds for the next season of hunting when you apply for those tags. Well, it turns out, of course, there's a way to game the system. And as it reads right now, you could just apply for those bonus points by paying your money. And what this bill does, it means that a person has to otherwise be eligible to apply for those points. They have to be eligible to apply for license, tag, or permit to put their money in to get those bonus points. And what has happened is that there are, right now, there are 2,654 bonus points that were given out last season to persons that were under 12 years old. Parents were going out buying tags for their kids, one-year-olds, two-year-olds, whatever. And so basically they were gaming the system. We know that happens in a lot of events. But this would just straighten it out that if you have to be eligible to hunt, you don't have to have that license to buy the points, but you have to be eligible to get the license. So this just takes out some of the gaming. Thank you.
Is there a discussion on the bill? Is there a discussion on the bill? There being no discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Logie that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 120, recommend the same do pass. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 100 representatives have voted aye.
House Bill 120 has passed second reading. The chair recognizes Representative Majority Leader Vinton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that the committee rise and report.
You've heard the motion of Majority Leader Vinton. All those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it, and so ordered.
Mr. Speaker, we, your committee of the whole, having had under consideration business on second reading, recommend as follows.
Mr. Speaker, I move adoption of the committee report.
You've heard the motion to adopt the committee report. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. Clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 98 representatives have voted aye. One has voted no.
The committee report has been adopted. Thank you, Representative Chita. Without objection, we'll revert back to order business number 4. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the Senate to inform the House of Representatives the following Senate bills were on this day read 3 several times and passed, title and history agreed to, and are herewith transmitted to the House for concurrence. Senate Bill 65, Fitzpatrick. Sincerely, Marilyn Miller, Secretary of the Senate. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, we'll go back to order of business number 8, third reading of bills.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 21, introduced by Custer, a bill for an act entitled Authorized Funding for the Multifamily Cold Trust Home Loan Program.
House Bill 21, having been read 3 several times, the question is, shall the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 57 representatives have voted aye. 42 have voted no.
House Bill 21 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 33, introduced by Vinton, a bill for an act entitled Clarify School Funding Related to Anticipated Enrollment Increases.
House Bill 33, having been read 3 several times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Has any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 99 representatives have voted aye.
House Bill 33 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 62, introduced by Hopkins, a bill for an act entitled Update Water and Wastewater Revolving Loan Program.
House Bill 62, having been read 3 several times, the question is, shall the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 99 representatives have voted aye.
House Bill 62 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 68, introduced by Bertolio, a bill for an act entitled Provide Early School Enrollment for Children of Relocated Military Families.
House Bill 68, having been read 3 several times, the question is, shall the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 99 representatives have voted aye.
House Bill 68 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 83, introduced by Dooling, a bill for an act entitled Generally Revised Vehicle Laws.
House Bill 83, having been read 3 several times, the question is, shall the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 96 representatives have voted aye. 3 have voted no.
The House Bill 83 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 96, introduced by Hawk, a bill for an act entitled Align Organ Donor Awareness Fund with Administering Agency.
House Bill 96, having been read 3 several times, the question is, shall the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 99 representatives have voted aye. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
House Bill 96 has passed the House.
That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number 9, motions. Seeing none, order business number 10, unfinished business.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the following undersigned names be added as sponsors to House Bill 136, signed Representative Lola Sheldon Galloway, sponsor. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 11, special orders of the day.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 12, announcement of committee meetings. Representative Lenz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to announce that House Human Services will not meet today, and we will not meet today. And, Mr. Speaker, with your permission, there is an announcement that I forgot to mention earlier.
Would you like to be off the record now of the journal?
Off the record now of the journal, yes. So thank you, sir. I want to mention to you that legislative spouses will be doing their blood pressure check tomorrow, 11 till noon, right over on the left side of the House floor. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Appropriations will not meet today or tomorrow, but we do have a meeting scheduled for Thursday.
Representative Hopkins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Section F, tomorrow, 8:30 a.m., House Bill 11 and 14.
Representative Fitzgerald.
Mr. Speaker, House Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, room 172, 3 o'clock, three bills, two EAs. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Cashmire.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Ag today, 3 o'clock, room 137, one bill.
Representative McKinney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House State Administration will be meeting tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in room 455, three bills, and five executive action.
Representative Matt Regeer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Section B, tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, room 102.
Representative Bartell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Section A, tomorrow at 8 a.m., room 350.
Representative Beatty.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Appropriation Section E, tomorrow, 8:30, 472, to conduct the first day of hearings on post-secondary education budgets.
Representative Custer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Local Government today at 3, two bills.
Representative Holmland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Section C, tomorrow morning, 8:30, room 317C, we will continue with Department of Transportation.
Representative Gunderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Natural Resources, Joint Senate AIS hearing, room 172, 3 p.m., Wednesday.
Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Taxation meets tomorrow, room 152, 8:30 a.m., and we have two executive actions. Thank you.
Representative Mercer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Section D in room 317 tomorrow, 8 a.m., will take up for the first time the Department of Corrections budget.
Representative Logie.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Transportation tomorrow, 3 o'clock, room 455, two bills.
Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Business and Labor will meet tomorrow at 10 a.m. Did I say that clear enough? 10 a.m. Now we're going to consider executive actions.
Representative Skies.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Energy tomorrow, 3 o'clock, room 472, two executive action. And House Rules will meet today, 4 o'clock, room 455. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Usher.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Judiciary tomorrow, 8 a.m., 137.
Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn and reconvene Wednesday, the 13th legislative day at 1 p.m.
You have heard the motion of Majority Leader Vinton. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The House will reconvene 1 p.m. on Wednesday, January 20th. The House is adjourned.